about the generalization, one way to think of what I'm going to talk about is the generalization of a refined topological string, which is basically, well, for a simple man like me, can be thought of a combinatorial description of certain invariants associated to toric-Calabi-Yau threefolds. So for toric-Calabi-Yau threefold, you have a toric diagram, and then you break this toric diagram into trivalent vertices associated to a vertex, a certain function, which depends on three Young diagrams associated to the legs. And then one glues these vertex functions together, summing over intermediate Young diagrams, the Young diagrams associated to the intermediate legs. And then what one get, like the outer Young diagrams associated to external legs are set to zero, to empty diagrams. Then what one gets is a certain invariant, like certain partition function associated to this manifold. And there are different ways to think about this function. So this is C. Let's call this vertex function C lambda mu nu. Then in principle depends on Q and T. And there are different ways to think about it. There is this corner vertex separator algebra approach, which probably there will be several talks about it in this conference, where this thing is understood as a character of a certain module of a W algebra, associated to this like stacks of brains, which okay, so one then thinks that these are five brains connected, and then there are the three brains which end on them, and there is a junction of three interfaces. And then on this point of the junction leaves this vertex separator algebra, and these boundary conditions, they specify the module of this this vertex algebra. And then this C is a normalized character. So I'm going to talk about a different point of view, still algebraic, but different, where the C lambda mu nu is understood as an intertwiner of a certain algebra. And actually, there is a sort of a miraculous coincidence that these two different views and two different algebras are actually one and the same. They are both, if you wish, affine Jungian-like algebras. So in my approach, it will be this quantum toroidal algebra or Dinghy-Hara-Mickey algebra. There are different names. So. And there are different notations, so I will denote it like this. So it is a toroidal algebra associated to GL1. So GL1, there are two heads. Sometimes people draw two dots over it. But anyway, two heads or two dots, they are meant to signify a double loop construction. So the toroidal means that this is the algebra of a double loop algebra, a certain quantization of a double loop algebra. Then, to connect to this corner vertex algebra approach, certain reductions of this algebra for certain values of central charges, it reproduces this all this corner vertex algebra. So you know that there are in this corner approach, there are three integers, so this algebra, they depend on three integers. And these three integers, they encode certain quantized values of the central charge of this algebra. There are two central charges, and if the value of one of them is quantized in terms of powers of Q and T, then like the there is a one can reduce the algebra, and the result is this vertex, corner vertex algebra, whatever one calls it, the Q deformation of it. So in my approach, this is a little bit different. So I the C lambda mu is an intertwiner. There are representations of this, various sorts of representations of this algebra, and there is sort of hierarchy of this representation. So there is a let's start with the vector, so-called vector representation, which is sort of an evaluation representation. And it's actually a way to define this algebra in the first place. One can say that this is the algebra of difference operators, like this. So n and m are integers. So the generators W, M, N, they're labeled by two integers. Like there is a lattice of generators, and here you can see there is a Q parameter. So to add the second parameter, one needs to consider the quantum deformation of this difference operators. Like there is a there will be a certain more complicated function of z in front here, but still, roughly speaking, this is the same thing. So this is the representation on functions of z. Or alternatively, because it's a difference difference operator, one can say that this is just as like a certain operator. One can say that the states are labeled by functions of z, or the states are labeled by z and an integer k, so that this kind of operator, it acts here just by this difference operator. Or here, I can say that it shifts k by m, something like this. Exactly like this. So there are just two views, and they can be identified just by saying that I scale z by powers of k. So these two are equivalent. So one can take tensor products of these vector representations. Let me denote them by v. And in particular, one can take a sometimes they are reducible. One can take an infinite tensor product of them. And then one gets a representation on the Fock space. F. So here, this W is act by certain vertex operators. This is one way to think about it. Actually, there are multiple subtleties about it. Like there are different Fock representations with different values of central charges, so-called vertical and horizontal, for example, which correspond in this refined topological string picture or the brain picture to these legs. So these legs are going to be the states are going to belong to Fock representations. And then the C lambda mu will be the matrix element of an intertwiner. So if I take F tensor F, then there is a certain operator psi, which takes the tensor product back to F. And actually, there are additional parameters corresponding to the slopes of the brain or brains here, or the slopes in the toric diagram. So here, we associate the direction, the unit vector in the direction of this brain to it. 1, 0 in this case, 0, 1 in this case, 1, 1 in this case. So, and then the matrix element of this psi is going to be C. So this was discovered some 5 years ago by Avata, Fagin, and Shiraishi. This remarkable relation. And so I will use it, but I will generalize it to include vector representations. I will argue that if this thing is naturally identified with webs of five brains, then if I add this vector representations, this is the way to incorporate three brains into it. And then eventually I will build a, in a natural way, I will obtain the free field representation of this corner algebras. And also as a byproduct, I will like get certain 3D theories associated, quiver 3D theories associated to Dynkin diagrams of super algebras. So just to justify the title of the talk, I hopefully will manage in time. So I haven't yet finished with the classification of representations of this huge algebra. So there is sort of trichotomy of this. There is this vector fork, and the next level is so-called McMahon representation. Which I will not use, but let me just mention that it's the representation where states, so here the states are labeled by lambda, the Young diagrams. So here the states will be plane partitions, so 3D Young diagrams. And also let me say that like concerning these parameters, Q and T. So in principle, the algebra depends. So there are two independent parameters, but there is a symmetry and automorphism, not even an automorphism. Like the relation of the algebra, they do not depend on any permutation of Q, T minus one, and T over Q. So you see, there are three parameters which I can say like Q one, Q two, Q three. I can denote them like this, and then there is a permutation, like I can do arbitrary permutation of these three parameters to the algebra. And so these representations, you see, they're they have sort of not a notion of dimension, but this hierarchy reflects the hierarchy of counting partitions in different dimensions, right? So these are 3D, 2D, and one sort of 1D partitions, because this K, if we forget for the moment that it can be negative, then we can say that it represents a one-column Young diagram, a 1D partition, if you wish. So here, the mnemonic rule for this for these representations is that the states, there is a sort of 3D space where this partition lives. And each axis is associated to the parameter of the algebra. So there is Q, T minus one, T over Q. And then this partition, they grow in different directions. And this symmetry, it doesn't keep the representation. Like only part of the symmetry is retained by the representations. So if I build this sort of vector representation, growing my boxes in this direction, it's a bit difficult to draw three-dimensionally, but I hope you understand. Like I draw them along the axis associated to Q. Then there is a natural symmetry between T minus one and T over Q. So only part sigma two of this symmetry is retained by this. By this representation, and
what do you mean retain?
The represent, well, it's just the representation doesn't depend on this swap. Okay, like there are three isomorphic but not like equivalent but not equal representations.
It's representation of different algebra. You of change Q and T in.
Yes, so the algebra depends on them symmetrically. But then when I build a representation, I need to choose a direction. Sorry, probably I overcomplicated the simple thing. So I choose a direction And then the two other directions, the construction is of the representation is completely symmetric in them. So there are three vector representations, like associated to, say, Q, which is drawn here. And then there are two others, V t minus 1 and V t over Q. The same with Fock spaces. So the for Fock spaces, say I need to choose a plane in which I draw my 2D Young diagram like this. Then there is a symmetry again between these two axes associated with the transposition of the diagram. So each state is mapped to the state. So it's a natural symmetry on the representation. And for McMahon representation, it is associated to general 3D partitions, which I cannot draw, unfortunately, but some people can. And then there are six transpositions, so three factorial different transpositions of these 3D partitions, which are associated to this complete symmetry of the algebra. So in this sense, these McMahon representations are most general, but we will not use them. So let me introduce. So there is this intertwining operator, and let me introduce a simpler intertwining operator, which acts from the tensor product of Fock space with a vector representation. And we again back to this Fock space. So the labels here are 1,0 and 1,0. They are not changed because, of course, I skipped the most important details, the central charges. So this algebra contains two central charges. This double loop, you have two-dimensional central extension. So here, with vector representations, the central charges are 0,0. And with Fock representation, as you can see, you can choose a unit direction somewhere. And with McMahon, it is general, not unit. So since this V has zero central charges, the central charges are additive, of course. And the direction of this representation is not changed. So I will start to immediately draw this thing, and I will draw this vector representation as a dashed line in contrast to this solid lines, which represent here either the toric diagram or the five brains of the brain web, if you wish. So here, this is some different object which does not bend the five brain. You see, so it should be something different. Also, we can I skipped something. So there are spectral parameters. These representations, they all depend on spectral parameters. In this case, this is just Z, which is this Z here. And in the Fock space, it is, let us call it U, or whatever letter you prefer. This is just the momentum, the zero mode of the free field, the momentum of the state, if you wish. And here, with McMahon, there is also one, but again, I will not use this. So here, the spectral parameters are like this. If I say here U and Z is minus UZ here, don't ask me why there is minus. It's just a convention. Can erase it. These are associated in the geometric language of this toric Calabi-Yau's. These are associated to Keller parameters. More precisely, if I have the ratios of these parameters, they matter. The ratios of them are Keller parameters of the compact two cycles. So if I have, for example, some two lines going somewhere like this, and I have, say, Z1 and Z2, then there is a two cycle here. So the color exponentiated color parameter is the ratio of the spectral parameters. This is the geometric meaning of this z's and u's. So here I also will have u, z, but here this this is just shifted by a fixed number t. So here is u, here is tu, and here is z. So I have an operator phi, say phi of z, which acts, if I substitute z here, a state from the vector representation, then it is just an operator acting from the Fock space to Fock space. And actually, there is a concrete and simple expression. It's a certain vector vertex operator. Let me just write the concrete formula. So this Q has no relation whatsoever to this Q. Let me denote this one by Q tilde. So epsilons are the logarithm of Q and T. Where a minus n are form just the Heisenberg algebra. A little bit rescaled. So by this factor, which is convenient in this case. And Q and P, they are just zero moons. So an operator like this is associated to this point where the dashed line comes into this five brain, if you wish. So already with this, with the help of this operator, I can compute some simple diagrams. And I will just follow the approach example by example, like just try to understand what is the meaning of this object. So if I have several of them, I can compose this thing. And for example, I can compute the vacuum matrix element of this. And this will give me more or less the following product. So say I have here W1, Wn. There are many. This is a product I less than j. I just use the normal ordering of the free field. So like this. And eventually, I will argue that this corresponds to a piece in a partition function of a 3D theory. So these W's are going to be masses. Of like parameters associated to the flavor symmetry of the theory, and I will associate this theory using like the standard brain technique. So if I have a stack of brains separated by this horizontal lines, then I will associate like UN gauge theory to it. But here you see the brains go to infinity, so the symmetry is sort of frozen, and it becomes a flavor symmetry. So this will give a flavor symmetry.
So are the dashed lines these brains?
This will be sort of my conclusion. Like I have no, I have no field theory proof, but the answers are reproduced. So I get the 3D partition functions from this approach. Just in the same way as if I compose these guys, I will get a refined topological string partition function, which is equal to 5D Nekrasov partition function. So this will be equal eventually to a 3D gauge theory partition function. So this is sort of a reduced formalism, where we get a 3D thing, and we will see that actually, well, it's a bit richer than that. That there are 3D theories living in some intersecting planes. Okay, so the next step is the dual intertwiner. So the dual intertwiner here, I can have an operator going from the tensor product to the Fock space, and then I have an operator going vice versa. So there is a picture like this. So the arrows here just represent the like what come in and what go out of this intertwiner, and the same here. So this I can denote by phi star, and there is also a concrete expression which I'm not going to write to spare some time, but it looks almost like this with this minus and plus exchange. So this is roughly exponent of phi of z, if you, more or less. So this guy is going to be the exponent of minus phi. Modulo some addition of factors of t over q, which are important, but okay, I'm not going to write another lengthy expression. So I have this phi star, and then now we can start to build more complicated networks of this brains. I can, for example, if I have two horizontal five brains like this, then I can put several of dashed lines between them. And what does this gluing really mean for this W? So you see the states of the vector representations, they're labeled either by the z and an extra integer, or z, q to an integer power. So if I wish to glue two vector spaces, I need to sum over a complete basis of states. So I need to shift to put these two spectral parameters here, say w1, w2. I need to put the spectral parameters of this outgoing and incoming vector space to be equal, and then I need to sum over k to shift them by powers of q and sum over all powers. So this is more or less. So there is sum over, say, k1, k2. There is q, k1, q, k2. Sum over all integers. So this is sometimes called, one can call it a Jackson Q integral, where one sums with this discrete shifts instead of integrating. Or another trick can be to rewrite it as a contour integral over a certain contour by inserting theta functions in front. Anyway, one gets if the most natural way is to associate a contour integral, and then under this integral, one gets factors like this, and one can see that these factors they are familiar from the 3D theories. Like this is what is these factors they form what is called the holomorphic block of 3D theories, or so this reproduces the partition function on R2 times S1 with q. Q is the omega background parameter of a 3D, certain 3D theory. And the matter content of this 3D theory depends on the brains I put here. So of here, this Kupa Hammers. So this will give me this Z3D. So the meta content I can easily deduce from this sort of brain engineering mnemonics. So here you see there are stacks of brains separated by this horizontal brains. Okay. Yes. Sorry? Well, it depends on your duality frame. Sorry. So, usually people like to say that these are NS5s, and then there are D3s between stretched between them. This is the convenient, but in principle, it depends on the S-duality frame. Yeah, but then they are on finite. Finite stretches of these D3 brains, so they're dimensionally reduced, and they will give you 3D theories. Okay, this I don't know. This is the holomorphic block expression for the three, like whether it is related to some 2D index, I don't know, but. It's. There is an extra ingredient. There is this T deformation. So everything depends on Q and T, and there is this T deformation which is a real axial mass deformation of n equal 4, which brings it into this sometimes called n equal 2 star theory. Like if you have let me first draw the quiver associated to this one, and then I'll explain a little bit. So you see, let me just give an answer. So the answer is like this. So there are two brains here, and they are finite in length, so they correspond to gauge symmetry. And then there are two infinite brains interacting with them, correspond to two meta hypers. So in n equal 2 language, this corresponds to what is called doubling. Like you have this mass T, and then these two masses are also related by T. So there are two meta hypermultiples here with masses say mu1. Here say z1 and z2. And there are chirals which are fundamental and anti-fundamental, so their masses differ also by T. So this is the T deformation. If I get rid of T, then the deformation is gone. Okay. So this picture is related to this quiver, and of course I can build linear quivers as long as I like with the different gauge groups, and I can reproduce their partition functions using this technique with simple vertex operators, and can be happy with this. But then I can recall that I have different vector representations, and also I have different Fock representations. So what I can do, first of all, I can recall that there is a symmetry of the Fock space. So here, which Fock space I use? I use this T over Q Fock space. So here, this is FT over Q everywhere. And I can ask, what if I act with the symmetry which exchanges Q versus T minus 1? So this is the symmetry of the Fock space, but this is not the symmetry of this VQ, which sits here, like this. It will change VQ to another representation. In this way, by using this symmetry, I can build a sort of dual intertwiner. The dual intertwiner will be like this. So let me move here. Actually, I would like to use some colors to add some colors to indicate Q T minus 1 and T over Q. So let me say that red, color red will be associated to Q, color blue associated to T minus 1, and color green will be associated to T over Q. So all my representations, they are now labeled by these colors. And what I used to have here, let me redraw it. So this is a green representation, right? And this one is associated to Q, so this is red. And then when I use the symmetry between Q and T, like this colors which are not green, right? Then I can build another intertwiner. So, which contains a blue line here. And then I can compose them and try to work out what is the result of the composition. Of course, like if I have only red lines, like here, oops, I have green horizontal lines and red vertical lines. Then this gives me back this one, and I can act with the symmetry which just exchanges Q and T minus 1. But then what if I combine these things? Like if I have several red guys here and a couple of blue, what it corresponds in the 3D language? So it turns out that it corresponds to something interesting. So this this vertex operators, I can just directly compute again using the free field technique. And this is the partition function of a coupled, like a system which is two coupled 3D theories, which live on, one lives on S1 cross R2, and another lives on S1 cross another R2. So this R2 has omega background parameter Q, and another one has omega background parameter T minus 1. And this S1 is the same S1. And these two R2s, they together form an R4. So these are two intersecting, so two intersecting planes in the four-dimensional space. So they intersect at a point, and over this point there is an S1. So they interact with some 1D degrees of freedom, and the partition function will reflect it. So there is a piece corresponding to this 3D theory, a piece corresponding to this one, and then there will be some bifundamental fields, 1D fields, which live on this S1. Here. So this is the way to incorporate this intersecting planes in this formalism. And again, I didn't ask for it. Like everything comes out automatically. And let me, okay, so when did we start? Is it at half or?
No.
20. 20, okay. So I have 20. Yeah. So let me also say something about the algebraic meaning of all this. Actually, so what is this this thing here? It is some operator acting on a tensor product of Fock spaces, and it is an intertwiner, which means that it commutes with the action of the algebra. So this operator or this one, these are different. They commute with the action of the algebra, and they like you can act on the Fock space with as many operators as you like, and it's still it I can pass the action of this huge quantum toroidal algebra through them, which is another way of saying that they are screening charges, really. So these are screening charges. two dual screening charges, which like the usual story with the Virasoro representations. And I have two of them. So for certain quantized values of spectral parameters, the tensor product of Fokker representations becomes reducible. And the way to reduce it is just to act on the vacuum with a certain number of screening charges. So this this will give me a null vector inside. Then I can reduce, and I will get an irreducible representation. Of course, I can play the same, exactly the same game with many Fokker representations here, like have a bunch of these green horizontal lines, and then there are many different screening charges acting on them. And eventually, so what is, if I put this U1 and U2 to certain quantized values and like reduce this representation, so like act with this screening charges on the vacuum to get the null vectors, then factor out this null, the descendants of these null vectors, I will get a certain representation, reducible representation of this huge algebra. But so actually, this representation is related to this corner story. So it is the free field construction of the corner algebra with just the color is not needed in this case. So if I have n guys here, then there are n brains here and zeros there. Then the natural question is how to get non-zeros, non-zero numbers there. And then I remember that the horizontal lines also need not be only green. They can be of any color, right? So let me erase something and try to draw with as many colors as I can. So for this, I need, of course, if I have several blue lines, this is related by the, like, just the permutation of parameters to this situation. I can, when I have a bunch of blue horizontal lines, then I can put red and green in between. Let's say like this. Something like this. But then the important point is where I switch the color. Like there are green lines live here, and beyond this, after a certain point, blue lines appear. So here, what can I put here? I only know the intertwiners which couple blue, horizontal line of one color and dashed lines of two other colors. Like they cannot coincide. I don't know such an operator. Well, maybe it exists, but it doesn't come out automatically in any way. So here I have just one choice. The color which is not equal neither to this one nor to this one, which is red. So I can have a bunch of reds here. And it turns out that these are what is called fermionic screening operators, fermionic screening charges. They really do anti-commute, and then this is a tensor product of different Fock spaces. So this is F T over Q, and this one is where are my parameters? So this is T over Q, and this blue one is T minus one. So these screening charges, you can use them to reduce this tensor product as a representation of quantum toroidal algebra, dim algebra. And then one can proceed here with the blue lines or red lines as one did before. So what does it mean in the language of this corner algebras, it simply means that I have some number here, n and m. So n is here, m is here, and so this is how it works. In terms of 3D theories, so here we already learned that these guys, they live on like one R2, so red is too complicated. So this live on another one, I suppose. And then it turns out that the whole collection, like there are also here, there are also blue ones. They live on the remaining plane. So in total, there is a six-dimensional space R6 times S1, and so here there are this. All the different 3D theories live and interact. So there is this picture of three planes. I don't know how to better draw them. Like this R2Q, R2T minus 1, and R2T over Q. So if I have several types of horizontal lines and several types of this vertical lines, then what I eventually get is a 3D theory which lives on this kind of planes in the 6D space, if you wish. And they interact along this S1. So also, what corresponds to this switch of horizontal lines? In the gauge theory, we already learned that this segment in the 3D language, it corresponds to a linear quiver. So I have several a number of lines here, a number of lines there, and then this is a linear quiver. Say here is a number k1, number k2, etc. k1, let me, and there is a certain number of them on the top. Say k0. And then when I run into this switch, into this different color of the brain, what happens? It turns out that what happens is a certain special node here, and then the pattern of course continues, like there are L1 here, etc. And this special node is a fermionic node. So here this quiver is associated to a how many n, and this part say is associated to a m. So when I glue them along this sort of fermionic node, then I arrive at a 3D quiver theory, which is associated to a quiver of a superalgebra. Like GL NM. And here there is a certain play with the parameters, like the axial mass deformation, which is T here, it will be Q over T there. So it is sort of a domain wall where this deformation is switches sign. So there is this T, and then there is 1 over T here. So this is what happens with this, like with the field theory language. So the final, okay, I have like 5 minutes or less left. The final point I wanted to mention is that this formalism, it automatically implies that the partition functions which I compute their eigenfunctions of Ruginard's Hamiltonians, Ruginard's operators, or MacDonald's operators, like it turns out that this falls from the intertwining property. And actually, there is an element of this quantum toroidal algebra. X plus zero, a certain element, which when it acts in the tensor product of vector representations, it acts as the Hamiltonian of if I take a tensor product of vector representations and act on them, this acts as the Hamiltonian of the Ruginard-Schneider system, or MacDonald operator, if you wish. Then, how does it act on this diagram? I say that it acts on these incoming lines here. Let me draw it. I can draw it as a box, right? Which acts here. I take a product of this element many times, and then take it in this vector representations. And also there are incoming lines incoming lines here. So this box actually extends here to the right. And then I can use the intertwining relation to pass this line all the way to the, down. And eventually, one can work this out. And this implies that this partition function, which depends on this z1, zn, say w1, wm parameters, it is an eigenfunction of this Ruginard's Hamiltonians. If m is zero, this is just regular your ordinary Ruginard's Hamiltonians or MacDonald operators, and if n and m are both non-zero, this is the so-called supersymmetric generalization of Ruginard's Hamiltonian. Which I don't want to talk much about, but it's sort of a supersymmetric generalization in the sense that the states, like ordinary MacDonald polynomials, they are labeled by Young diagrams or by representations of GLN. Like if I have n particles, then the diagrams are the width of the diagram is n, and here. If I have the supersymmetric version, then the diagrams which label the eigenfunctions they correspond to representations of superalgebra GL and M N slash M. I want to finish at this point. Let me just recapitulate the main points. There is a convenient formalism. Well, at least it's simple. Anyone can use it to relate the diagrams like this to incorporate three brains into this five brain web. This is the first point. To get the 3D theories which are associated to this web and incorporating these dashed lines. The algebraic side of it is that like these dashed lines, they naturally provide screening operators which give a free field construction of this corner algebras.
Algebra is Q deformation.
Q deformation, of course, because everything is Q deformed in this sense, and. Well, how to undeform it back is in this case not complicated, but in general is can be complicated. Of course, one can make this additive limit where everything goes into affine Youngian. Everything's fine. Okay, so I stop here. Thank you for your attention. Yeah. There are three. I have three different horizontal types of horizontal lines. So I have a bunch of them: n of one sort, m of the other sort, and the l of the third sort. I just ran out of patience. Okay. So this is the picture, right? So this is, and of course there is a question like one can exchange these things, and these are equivalent pictures where these guys are exchanged.
You know. So can you draw dashed lines by skipping the horizontal?
I think yes. And this corresponds to like screening charges which act like this. I think I can, yeah.